but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
It's been said that if you want to know what's going on, all you have to do is follow the money. Well, today's radio show is going to have big guests. We're going to talk about the college football weekend, Major League Baseball, whole bunch of NFL. But first, we're going to follow the money. We'll go other places, but let's start in Corvallis. There's been a lot of talk lately about Oregon State football. The Beavers have been struggling on the field. They're 0-5. They're trying to pull it together this weekend on the road at Appalachian State. But there was a story published in Sportico about the NIL operating agreement between Oregon State and the collective, and a lot of Oregon State fans are frustrated and upset. And rather than just kind of talk around that, I figured we would go right to the direct source. And Brent Blaylock is the Chief Operating Officer, Executive Deputy Athletics Director at Oregon State. Give us an idea. I mean, Oregon State fans are upset, Brent, and they're reading this story and they're seeing 75%. And help us understand what's going on here with the collective.
Yes, and thanks, John, for having me on here. You know, we understand the frustration with the numbers and how things were presented. What I appreciate here is the opportunity to clarify some of that. You know, I think that the big thing for us to note in this is that the first $750,000 of the funds that are generated for our student athletes, that goes directly to the student athletes. So from $0 up to $750,000, that's 100% going to our players. Where the revenue split starts is there once they clear the $750,000 mark. Now, why that's important is that gives us some certainty in a time where there's a lot of uncertainty. Now, we're expecting this deal to go well beyond that $750,000. But having that initial assurance that support is being provided directly to our student athletes, that's helpful for us, one, because our student athletes are worthy of that support, but also that is another resource line for our coaches to be able to recruit and retain the level of student athletes that we need to be successful here. And so while some of their percentages that they also talked about, you know, with the example given and some of those things, I feel like weren't given with how the contract is truly done by including annual management fees and some of those other things. I want to highlight first, because I don't think it got a lot of attention, that first $750,000 goes directly to our student athletes.
All right. First $750,000 goes to the student athletes. Then Blueprint Sports is making some money back in that middle tier. Is that from $750,000 to what, $1.15 million? Or
you're correct. That 75% goes up until $1.15 million. Once we clear $1.15 million, which again, we're expecting to do that as well, that's where it then becomes the 50-50 split. So as we look at this, everybody is motivated to grow the pie as much as you can. But because the more Blueprint earns for our student athletes, the more they make on that also motivates us as a athletic department to make sure that we're facilitating opportunities for them to max those things out. So when we're looking at the totality of those numbers, we always have to factor in that first initial tier, that zero to $750,000, Blueprint's taking zero of those dollars. I think when we look at this stuff as well, when we look at the actual operation and how this will work with Blueprint, some other things that are not in that agreement, but they are how they operate and how they will certainly work with us, is all membership revenue goes directly to the student athletes. So if an individual signs up for, let's just say, a $500 a year membership plan, all $500 goes directly to the student athletes. They are not taking a percentage on that, because they want our supporters to know that if they support this initiative through the membership, that that's going directly to the student athletes. The other part to this as well is when it comes to individual NIL opportunities that they are negotiating on behalf of a student athlete, And it's important to note with that that this is all voluntary for the student athletes. They can choose to be a part of this or not. But if they choose to work with an individual student athlete on that, their rate to negotiate that deal on their behalf, we've been told it's in the range of 10% for that, which is a very competitive number from what we're seeing nationally. And what they do that was really meaningful for us is that, let's just say it's a $100,000 deal, hypothetically, and it's about a 10% rate on that for their services for facilitating it. What they will do is they will go to the student athlete and say, hey, we got you a $100,000 deal, and you're getting all $100,000 of those dollars. They then plus up the deal on the company side so that they end up paying $110,000 so that the student athlete is able to take advantage of that entirety of the $100,000. So again, the student athletes aren't really bearing a lot of those costs. They're being passed on to the business. So I say that because it's important to note, because that's helping us protect those that are most important to us. It's helping us protect our supporters by making sure that their direct line investment in the memberships is going to the student athletes. And then also for our student athletes, they are getting excellent representation, but also at a really competitive and fair rate.
We're talking to Brent Blaylock, who is a deputy athletic director at Oregon State, COO. I have so many questions, but I appreciate you doing this. And I think part of good journalism is making the phone call and getting the person on the phone that can help explain it. And that's why I wanted to talk with you. But help me, you touched on this, but how does this deal compare to the rest of the market as you look at other schools? And when you go to enter into this kind of contract, I am assuming that you really do your diligence on it.
Yes, we do. So it's not only us institutionally. I know as myself and several within the athletics department, we're reaching out to peers across the country to see their thoughts. We do know that this is in line with deals like with what Maryland, who is the most recent to sign with Blueprint from us, similar to their deal as well. I also know within this process that we're here talking about this. Because of the transition in ownership, and presumably there was some due diligence done in that regard as well. And I just want to say with that, we couldn't be more appreciative of all that Kyle and his group did to get Damnation up to this point. And I know that when he was exploring options on potentially transitioning the ownership, I believe he was talking with multiple entities as well. So certainly he had some opportunities as well to learn more about Blueprint, how they do things, how they would operate, and really how they would carry the organization that he built, how they would carry that forward to do the best to help out our student athletes and our programs.
Brent, can you help me with, average fan who wants to support the NIL collective or wants to support athletes at Oregon State? How concerned would they be? What would you tell your neighbors as they go to I want to make a donation? You mentioned the memberships that are purchased that's not touched by this deal, but how does that work? And if somebody's giving $100 donation, just a small donation from a fan who wants to help out, what portion of that is being passed through to athletes? What portion potentially is going to a third party?
Are we talking about a donation directly to Damnation instead of like a membership or one of those?
Maybe
things?
You could talk about both. What's the difference there? Because I think a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, I think your question actually has to do a lot with the evolution of this marketplace and what we're seeing in the post-house environment here. So NIL collectives before had been mostly driven by donations, that people would donate in and then whoever was operating the collective, and this is across the country, would then find ways to be able to activate that with the student athletes. With the new scrutiny and the new guidelines that's coming with collectives in particular, but just NIL as a whole, a lot of this is evolving more into true activations of you are giving money to then get something back in return. So, if someone just wants to donate money, we certainly have a phenomenal team with our Beaver Nation and they're generating funds for our revenue sharing program for that. So that is a great place to be able to put just a pure donation. What we are now seeing is for those that are going to be active in the NIL third-party space, that's where you're going to see a lot of things with the memberships or with events or exclusive access into things or being able to get behind the scenes with our programs and things like that. It's going to be more in that area, of which Blueprint is an absolute leader in the country, and less of just writing them a check.
All right. For people who didn't know, the Damnation Collective, essentially, was it sold to Blueprint? Is that the best way to put it, or transferred, or how do you say that?
My understanding is it was sold.
Yeah. And this is not an Oregon State thing, right? Because there is a misconception that Oregon State owned the collective. For people who don't know, Damnation and these other NIL collectives, the Boulevard for SMU, Division Street, operate independently. Some of them tried to be nonprofits. Some of them were not able to do that, or a lot of them were not able to do that. And we're talking to Brent Blaylock, who is the chief operating officer at Oregon State. All right, so in simple terms now, you've got a bunch of people blowing you up, asking you all about this stuff. You know, what do you say to people as far as the revenue share and this partnership with Blueprint and Oregon State athletes?
You know, I hope for one, there's a new perspective gained as more of this information comes to light. But because I understand that people wanted to voice their opinions on that. We appreciate the passion there, but because that shows that they're invested in the success of our student athletes and in our sport programs. But ultimately, this is a deal that is advantageous for our student athletes. It's advantageous for our teams. It's also advantageous for the department. And the reason being is that the management fee that the department is paying to Blueprint, we're getting three full-time employees for that number, as well as a team of additional behind-the-scenes people. But with that, we're also getting 4-plus years of their expertise, their experiences, their best practices, what to do, what not to do, with over 60 partners that they've had during that time. You know, them and SA NIL, which they acquired last year, they did a combined $108 million in NIL activity in 2024. So there's a lot of expertise there. So now on our campus, they're going to know exactly what's going on at NC State or at Arkansas or at Penn State or at Maryland to be able to get those best practices. It would have been nearly impossible for us to replicate that if we were trying to do that on our own. If first you got to factor in the full cost of FTE, so our salary pool would probably have been about half that number. But then we really would have been challenged to find people with this level of expertise and experience and really the national network. So this is a great value for our department as well with what we're getting, because if we went out to market to try to do this ourselves and then do all this internally, what we would have had to pay to do that, all that would do is just take away significant resources that we can use elsewhere to either support our programs or invest into revenue sharing for our student athletes.
I think it's a really great point there with the networking you mentioned. I want to highlight that just a little bit before I let you go. But we're talking about new dollars, right? Because I think in your community and your ecosystem, I think all universities were scared that like the NIL collectives would cannibalize their gift giving and the sponsorships of the athletic department. So how important from your view is it to have new dollars and new relationships and some national relationships as you start to fund these things?
I think it's critically important. And as I said, we're always looking to grow the pie on this. And we hope that involvement with Damnation, that this is an additive, that individuals are finding ways to engage with our Beaver Nation and buying tickets and doing other things. But the great thing about this is that this allows us to have touch points. Maybe there's a Beaver fan in Indiana that can't get to games and has a hard time, you know, seeing coaches out in the community and things like that. Well, they can now get involved with the membership there, some of the content, some of the other things that they get, some of the merchandise, and feel connected to that too. So where we are and where we want to be competitively, we have to take advantage of any possible revenue stream that's out there. And that's why we're appreciative of Blueprint being able to bring in this national expertise to really grow this kind of this new column. But because this is that true NIL that has now become the new priority after House, where it has to have this valid business purpose, and we have ranges of compensation, all those things. We need their expertise. And I know as well, Blueprint's leadership, they have a lead position with the overall collective group, which kind of has its own union, if you will, that negotiates directly with the CSC. So we have representation in those rooms as new policy is being debated, as new strategies are being created. which is only going to help us stay on that lead lap, which is where we want to be.
I read the Sportico piece, and just as a journalist, I saw a hole in it. I saw that, you know, nobody on your side is quoted in the piece. You know, look, they have the documents. I think it raises questions. I know I went on radio after and I said, hey, let's get to the bottom of this. I have questions. It raised my eyebrows, but let's not draw conclusions. Was there a frustration specifically with you or maybe at Oregon State when this piece comes out that you're not quoted in it, or what do you make of that?
What I'll just say generally with that is we truly appreciate you taking the time to connect and ask questions and learn more about it. You know, with sometimes as you read contracts or as you look at certain areas, you're missing other parts and,
sure.
and things like that. I certainly think there was an opportunity to get a better reflection of the information out there, but most specifically, I appreciate you taking the time to make the call ahead of time so that we can give you our perspective and we can tell you why we're so excited about this and why this is going to put our student athletes in a great position and also open up really wonderful opportunities for those that support our programs as well.
Yeah, and I think the big misconception initially was that, hey, oh wow, they're getting like Blueprints taking 75% of everything over 750,000, but that little window, if you understand it, tell me if I'm wrong, but that's where Blueprint is sort of recouping their cost in that range between 750 and 1.15 million. They of course have expenses, they have employees. That's where they're getting their money back. And then it becomes, is it a 50-50 revenue share after 1.15 million? Is that correct?
It is. And that's where it really goes in that we're all invested. And again, that's on just overall dollars. But no matter where those dollars get to, the membership revenue that comes directly from those that buy the memberships, that goes directly to the student athletes. That is 100% straight through line. And again, we talked about their agency fee when they're representing student athletes getting those individual deals and how that's going to be around that 10% number and how really those costs are put off onto the company. Where Blueprint will look to get revenue is probably in some other areas like larger corporate partnerships or maybe some events and some things like that they have larger areas to be able to recoup some revenue. But whether we're at 750,000 or 750 million. If someone buys a membership, whatever money they put in for that membership, all that money is going to go directly to a student athlete.
Brent Blaylock, thank you. Thanks for your time. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Certainly, there is a fever pitch around Oregon State, and the start of this season hasn't helped the Beavers. It really just hasn't been an easy start for Oregon State athletics, but I don't think it's coincidental that the Oregon State fans were up in arms over this NIL deal and also up in arms over the start of the season. And I think if Oregon State is sitting at 2-3 or 3-2 after five games, there is a very different conversation to be had. I will say this. I try to be fair to people, and I try to be fair to the things that I cover. I don't see everybody doing it. And it's not to knock any other journalist. You know, do you, I'll do me. But I do know that my readers know that I'm going to get to the heart of the issue. And my listeners here know that we're going to get to the heart of the issue. In the initial report that came out about this deal, like people were just throwing their hands up going, 75%? That's a huge number. Why isn't Oregon State protecting their athletes more? Look, this NIL world, it's a new world. And we're all trying to understand it. But to have Oregon State get the first $750,000 and then let Blueprint come in and make back some of their cost, and then they get 75% of everything between 750 and 1.15 million, and then it's a 50-50 revenue share beyond, is not a bad deal for Oregon State. In fact, if it's a market deal, what are we talking about here? Thanks to Brent Blaylock for facing the music. But Oregon State football, go win a football game at Appalachian State, for crying out loud. Go win this game. They're a 1.5-point underdog on the road. We're going to talk more about it coming up. Ducks with a week off. Beavers under the spotlight, under the microscope this week. You got the BFT statewide on the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Network.